We continue to learn through the Word of God. So our church is in chronological order of the learn through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So our church is aiming every single individual learn the Word of God and reflect their daily life. So we are encouraging and also equipping our members to read through Bible by themselves and learn through and reflect to their life. We'll be doing many activities for the following week for the Christmas. But we'll see the people in the world, they are celebrating something else rather than what we should celebrate. We'll have a look at the nine plague today, and we'll continue the 10th plague in the following week, which is Passover. So in the past week we read chapter 3 and 4. We learned God came to Moses and called him for the mission. When Moses was a fugitive and took care for a livestock of his father-in-law named Jethro, when he's 40 years old, and he spent 40 another years in the wilderness of Midian. And God called him when he was 80 years old, after spending 40 years of a wilderness. So when Moses was called by the God, and he wanted to avoid because of his hurt against his own people, and also he has a hurt toward to God, because God didn't give Moses a favor when Moses was a full of fashion in his 40s to deliver his people. But obviously, he has been humbled and changed compared to his 40s. And unlike when he could not hear others because he was filled with his own thought and stubbornness to help his people by his own way. So a man's thought and stubbornness prevent God from using a person for his mission. So even if God chooses a man, God can work when the man lay down his own thought and stubbornness, then obeys to God. So I said, the time of God is the time when man is rightly prepared. This is the reason why the world has been flowing such a way over 3,500 years of history since Moses. So if the people of faith are not prepared, they get that God cannot work even if the bitter history runs for 400 years in Egypt and dark age of medieval 1,000 years. So not because God is working with a dry stick, but because God is working through people who believe in God and devote to faith in God's word. Because God had this purpose when he created man and gave us a free will. So that's why in the journey of the faith, God's mighty power and man's obedience in free wills are essential. Because he created man with a free will. So in particular, there is no problem with God's work, but problem always arise for a man who has a free will. The church and the Christian need to be prepared to fully obey God's word. Even though we love God, we make God as our idol when we pursue our own goal rather than the God's will. Therefore, it is God's most expectation to build a life, which can also build another life that obeys God and his word. And it's also the purpose of our being as a Christian and a church. But it takes time to become a mature believer, has a heart of a heavenly father. It took 80 years for Moses to be ready to lead the Exodus. God had been waiting for 320 years till Moses' parents, Amalam and Yogebet, turned up, who were able to raise Moses in faith under the persecution of Egypt. So nowadays there are not many people who understand God is waiting for such an obedient person. So I'm so glad that our church members are struggling to live by faith to bring up Christian whom God is looking for. I'm so grateful that even though the difficult mission, there are people in our church trying to understand God's tearing heart and obey. So do not forget that people need time to be mature. Just as we ran through in 2018, after having a good time for a rest and preparation, keep yourself be faithful and steady in 2019 as well. Sometimes it seems like there's no fruits, even though we put lots of effort. But the God will accomplish His goal. So we always look after ourselves well in the Word of God and check up whether we're following and carrying on His mission properly. So you can understand what you read in last week, chapter 3 and 4. But at the end of the chapter 4, a little hard to understand story develops. Chapter 4, verse 24 to 26, at the end of the twilight, Moses obeyed to carry God's mission to save his own people. And there comes a story, God is trying to kill Moses who goes to Egypt for his mission. This is a little difficult part of the interpretation, but if you read it a bit carefully, you can guess the reason. The reason why this happened is the cause of circumcision problem of the Moses' son. When the Lord tried to kill Moses, his wife Zipporah saw it and took a stone knife and circumcised her son and brought the skin to the Moses' feet, and the Lord released Moses. It seems that Moses and Zipporah had a conflict with each other due to the circumcision problem of their son. It was an important part of Hebrew to circumcise baby within 8 days of a birth, but it seemed to be incomprehensible to his wife Zipporah, who thought circumcision as hurting her child. So circumcision is not just a cutting off the skin of the body. It's actually confirming they are inheriting the faith of God. So it seems like Zipporah is the conflict with Moses about the circumcision. In fact, Zipporah was a descendant of Abraham because she was the Midian descendant of Abraham and his wife Keturah, who was remarried to after Sarah had died. But it seems that the promise of God did not matter for her. Even though Abraham had many children, the covenant of God had flowed down only through Isaac. But the other children of Abraham did not think much about the promise made to Abraham. So it seems that Moses and Zipporah had confronted each other with such a problem. So if you see the graph, you can see that it's not succeeded by the eldest son. It's succeeded by the child who has a faith in God. So Midian actually descendant of Abraham through the Keturah. We can easily guess they are not succeeding the faith of God. So Moses knew the will of the God, and they have to act on based on the word of God. But he tried to avoid a conflict with the wife Zipporah, and he compromised. Moses was the position to had to lead the people of the Israel out of the Egypt, but even himself, he didn't keep the word of God at the covenant, not circumcising his son, because he was trying to avoid the conflict with the Zipporah about the circumcision of his son. But it's pretty much clear Zipporah knew what was the cause of the problem. That's why the angel turned up and tried to kill the Moses, Zipporah circumcised his son immediately, which is can be the evidence. And what was the reason of the God tried to kill the Moses? So relationship is very important. Within a family, between a wife and husband, and between the friends. So last week we talked about the relationship between God and man, relationship between man and man, relationship between man and material. But if you look at the Moses, there seems like a relationship between God and the man is recurve, but the relationship between man and man, the Moses himself and his wife Keturah, seems like having a problem to follow the will of God. So right relationship is better than good relationship. The reason I try to define right relationship and a correct relationship is a correct relationship should carry the will of God, not just a good relationship emotionally. So, shouldn't forget, all you Christians, try to have a good relationship, the right relationship rather than good relationship with people. So, when we really want to truly evangelize the people, we try to have a relationship which is a right relationship, carrying the word of God. So, from this case of Moses, I want you to learn the lessons to develop the right relationship with the people. So, if you look at the continuing story after the circumcisions, God calls the story of circumcision, God calls Aaron to meet his brother Moses. And Moses spoke to Aaron about the time in Midian, and he went to Egypt to meet the elders of Israel to show the will of God and to show the miracle that God told Moses to do before the people. Then all the people believed Moses and worshiped God and saying that God has taken care of his people. And after that, Moses and Aaron went up to the Pharaoh to do ministry, just as God has told them. They did not add or subtract telling the word of God to the king Pharaoh. The king's response was, "What do you mean? Who is Jehovah asking me set free slaves who are my possession?" The consequence of preaching the will of God without compromising was not the start of the amazing Exodus, but the persecution by the harder and heavy labor for the people. So at the end of the chapter 4, the people worshiped God for caring for them, and now it was the opposite reaction of complaint to Moses and Aaron, and asked God to bring down curse on Aaron and Moses. So Moses also complains to God, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on these people, and you have not rescued your people at all." We also expect that if we obey God's will, there will be very good result. There is an expectation that prayer will surely bring the result as we wish and pray. But in reality, there is not much cases that can be done as we expect and pray. Rather, there are many cases of persecution, blame, and poverty come to us when we obey and leave us. It is a bit embarrassing, but if you think about it a bit carefully, you can see that it is a natural result. This is because the whole world already live a life opposite to God's will. The everyone is swept away in one direction because we are trying to go against to the opposite direction. So what we should not forget is that this response of the world to the obedient people is a natural. If you look at the screen, the subway in Korea, you can see all the crowd moving into the train. But what if you try to walk against the opposite side? This is the same thing happening when we live by the word of God. It's not because we are wrong, but because this word flow against the word of God. That's why this kind of opposition we are facing when it's determined to live by the word of God. So for the God's people who try to obey the word of God, this kind of world reaction is just normal. So rather than complaining, why you make this hard and make a trouble in our life, you accept this is how the world is like. But say, God also works within the time and environment He created when He works things related to people. In particular, He does not control the free will of the people. So Moses took a long time to give God his life, so as the king of Egypt and his people, who knew nothing about God, the Israelites who are trying to move God as they wish. God raised Moses in a palace over 40 years, and also he had to train him in the wilderness another 40 years. So Egyptian as well as Israelites all misunderstanding who the God is. That's why God cannot work and carry his mission. So that's why it seems like a delay the mission of God. Exodus is not just carrying the material, transferring the material from one place to the other. It's carrying over 2 million people who has their own will. So what God has to do is He had to persuade the Egyptian and Pharaoh, and also had to persuade all the Israelites who has their own will. So Exodus is not just a one-off miracle. It's how God is driving and guide the people out of the Egypt. So God repeatedly spoke Moses he would face this kind of reaction over many times. But however, Mose is suddenly embarrassed and frightened by the reaction of king and the Israelite. Moses is already embarrassed by people's resistance and attack, even though he has already heard from the God that such a reaction is on the path of obedience. Even if it is anticipated, if a person faces an opposition and they are scared and frustrated, moreover, it makes a person to deny or forget the things already promised. God knows all our weaknesses. So chapter 6, God again promised Moses detailed plan of God, which he had already told when he called him and promised by his name Jehovah. In the NIV, New International Version, it was translated as Jehovah, but in Judaism, the same name was read in the Septuagint Version and the New Testament as Adonai, or Elohim, the Lord. Since the 16th century, they has begun to call the name Jehovah, but now most translations are called Lord, following a long tradition. However, when you read the text, God has introduced you to El Shaddai, Almighty God. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, 35, verse 11, but he has never referred to Moses as Jehovah the Lord. However, if we look at the book of Genesis, it appears that Jehovah is named 145 times. In the case of Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, in the case of Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verse 13, God introduced himself as Jehovah the Lord. Because the author of Genesis is Moses, the name of God Jehovah, who he is used to record Genesis because it was as familiar to Moses. So obviously about 400 years before Exodus, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had known God as Almighty God, namely El Shaddai. By the name of Jehovah, God began to save his people. That tells us who God is leading. So if the Almighty God is El Shaddai, means to give a promise and a covenant, knowing the future, in contrast, the name Jehovah God is not only promising in heaven, but it can be said as the meaning the king who is with his people as the Lord. So Lord is next to us, close to us, and guide us, which is explained in the name of Jehovah God, the Lord. The promise and covenants never been changed since Abraham, but based on the change of the name when he called from the El Shaddai to Jehovah God, so Jehovah is more like in person now, God in relationship and a guide and leading. So now that God has made the Israelites as his own people, show them how they are saved from the oppression of the king of Egypt and have become a people of the promise. The evidence is the promise that God will make in the future. When people see that what God promised in his name must come to pass, they will know that God is their master, Lord, and the king. God's way of the working is to prophesy the things that are to be done in advance, and by fulfilling it, it makes all people unable to deny that God is alive. So the way to be with God is nothing but faith. So God said that when Pharaoh refused God's will and made the people more difficult, he made the people of Israel wake up to the wrong image of God they expected. But it is same that God will accomplish his self-revelation, knowing that it will be done according to his own plan. If the people feel hard and difficult, God does not give other easier way, but God does what he says he will do. So when we fulfill the mission given to us, the church and the members should not adjust the mission according to our circumstances. This is why people obey God's will experience difficulties. We know what God's will is. However, when we are uncomfortable, difficult, disliked, or trying to avoid, they tend to compromise and dilute God's clear will. In today's text, when we see God speaking to Moses, we also need to learn obeying with the courage in carrying will of God. You will have to learn to serve person with love and love them until the end. So that's why our church is trying to teach the what is the heart of God, what is actually the will of God. Otherwise, end up we making the Christian like a Jacob rather than Moses. So when people find a difficult in learning the word of God and carrying the mission of God, if the pastor doesn't preach it, what's the will of God? And church end up just a fellowship meeting, not the body of the Christ. Through this, the Moses case, God clearly tells us what Christians should do in carrying his mission. So our church has been spending over 10 years to raise the leaders who has the heart of the God. Because that is the reason God called us out of the death and gave us a life. So try to figure out yourself where you are. Are you in a church as a body of Christ, or just you sitting in the building of the church, called church? So for us, it doesn't really matter this kind of building is a disappear. Because this is not the church called in the Bible. The church defined in the Bible is a body of the Christ. The gathering, assembly of the Christian is the church. But probably some people saying, oh, those kind of church, you know, pushing is nice church because they're easy to hang around and accepting homosexual people. So I don't say the homosexual people shouldn't come to the church. We should let them come to the church. But We shouldn't accept the sin. We should accept the sinner, but we shouldn't accept the sin. We shouldn't say it is right. They even theological, queer theology, they give the right for the homosexual to be right. So here comes the family trees of Levites. Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses. Amram was married to Jochebed, who was the auntie, his father's sister. But it is strange that the time of Moses' birth was the end of the slave life of the Egypt. But Jochebed was born as the daughter of Levites in the beginning of slavery in Egypt. So there seems like a time difference of over 200 years. So the much of the genealogy presented here in the Bible probably has been omitted. So as you look at other related record, you can see that between Joseph and Joshua, and between Moses and Levi, there was a gap of about 9 to 10 generations. Therefore, it is possible that Jochebed, the father of Moses, the mother of Moses, was a woman from the family, the name of the Kohath, the father of Amram. So most of the biblical genealogy do not record all of their descendants, but omit generations that are considered unnecessary according to the purpose of the record. The genealogy found in the Genesis or the genealogy of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew are also found to be omitted. But these omissions in records are not only seen in the Bible, but also in the Egyptian historical genealogy. The reason I'm telling you this in advance, because there will be no confusion. I wish there'd no confusion when you read through the Bible and when you come across this kind of part. So I want you to have an understanding of this kind of omission and not to be confused when you read the chapters. So Moses and Aaron are in difficult situation now. When they obey God's word, even if the Egyptian Pharaoh are a little tougher, they expected God will do favor on them and his ministry. But this Pharaoh does not even know the name of the Jehovah and react rough and tougher and afflict the people and gave them more oppression. So the people who believed that God saved them became to blame and curse Moses due to the situation being changed to the harder. Sometimes when we are trying to build a person as a leader, an intern, or a member in our church, in a cell group, their time make us frustrated because no favor. Because people do not change easily, even when we see they are doing backsliding more, and we lose the strength and our confidence. But even though our feeling like that, nevertheless, our feelings are hopeless and helpless sometimes, the work of God is moving faithfully and sincerely. Even though our obedient life is up and down and frustrated and discouraged, if we do not go away from the direction of our calling and conflict, pain, hesitations, and wobbling in such a mind is not a vanity, but it is part of faith journey. God revealed himself as a living God to Moses first and to all the tribe of Israel, including the king of the Egypt. So now God is constantly raising Moses. He will also let Israel know who God is and how he worked for the Israelites. So it takes a time to persuade and raise a man so God's mission can be to carry it on. It's not happening like a magic. So it seems like a God's mission been delayed. And if we look at the chapter 6, verse 12 and 30s, Moses thought the king was so hostile because he was not able to communicate well, because he was not able to speak well. So when we proclaim the word of God, we often think people would immediately repent. And if you share the testimony, think everyone will be moved and fascinated. When even I'm preaching word of God. So what we have to do, we just to share the word of God without adding an omission. So we are growing through the time. When we proclaiming God's words. So we don't need to be afraid of the reaction of the people. So he continues in chapter 7 and says, God tells Moses in advance what the people will react when Moses sends his message without adding or subtracting. But do not respond to the respond of such a people. He persuaded Moses faithfully to proclaim his word. If Moses proclaimed, God will bring the people out of Egypt. If they do all the command of God, and they will know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the people of Egypt, and the nation of all nations. If miraculous things happen without communicating the will of God, people will regard it as a coincidence. That is why God tells and works of the future first when he does his work with the man has a free will. So now we don't need that kind of prophecy because we already have a book of the Bible, which is the Word of God. But in the past, the way God works is that he told people what he's going to do in the future. And by accomplishing his promise, he revealed himself is a true God. The Moses go back to the way of obedience by hearing God's word again. Moses seemed to be complaining when there is a resistance and difficulty in every process. But he did not walk away from the position of mission that God has sent. And when God told him, he took courage again and went to obedience. So now God's powerful history begins to happen to the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servant and people who are stubborn. So 10 plagues, we look at the 10 plagues. The first plague is water changed to the blood. The Egyptian magician also could do it. Second plague was the frogs. Egyptian magician also could do it. But they could not remove the frogs. Still the Pharaoh was stubborn. The third plague is a gnat. From this time, magician acknowledged that these things cannot be done without God. But Pharaoh's heart was still stubborn. He didn't want to hear about it. The fourth plague was flies. It flies everywhere but the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. Only flies was in Egypt. So Pharaoh asked Moses to remove the flies, but after removing flies, he changed his mind again. He keep on changing his mind over and over again. And Pharaoh, even his servant was complaining, Pharaoh didn't care about him. Didn't care about it. Through the livestock death and the boils. If you look at the chapter 9, what God said is God can get rid of it all at once with amazing power, but why not? For by now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. God is revealing himself to all the nation. The Pharaoh regarded himself as a God. So God let Pharaoh know who true God is. It was also because this news spread to all the nation of the world and they know that only our God is true God. This evidence is that some of the Egyptian servants do what Moses said and prepare for the disaster. These plagues did not fall on the land of Goshen where Israel, the chosen people, lived, and let people know these peoples are my people. But because of this, Pharaoh recognized his fault and want to stop. But again, with the stubborn mind, he continued to stubbornly reject it. It is people who want to live according to their thought, if there is something to eat even a little. Pharaoh is not even a little warm in front of God. In fact, in a human world, he was such a king with power and ability that was not different from God. Such a proud heart continued to see the experience of God's word, but reject God's will, and he tried to do the things according to his own greed and self-thought. The eighth plague was the locust. So they ate up everything that remained after hail damage. From the plague, the servant are shaking and telling king, realized and plague of God have already destroyed Egypt. However, Pharaoh conditionally approves and say to take a man only. And after disaster of the locust eventually come, it caused a great damage. Then he asked Moses to stop and ask to stop the plague. After stopping the plague and change his mind over and over again. And ninth plague was a darkness excluding Goshen region. At this time, the Pharaoh approved conditionally again and tell them to leave the livestock because Moses has been asking for sacrifice and burnt offering. Pharaoh threatened Moses. So Moses is threatened and intimidated even when he continued to speak according to the word of God 9 times now. Nevertheless, Moses continued to knock on the door of Pharaoh and proclaim the will of God. There are no sign of change at all. There are no sign of change at all, and it seems like there is going to be the same again. It seems that it's getting worse. Moses knocked on the door of Pharaoh. Continue knock on the door of Pharaoh. Now Moses is convinced of who God is. God persuaded Moses. He persuaded all the tribe of Israel. If we want to see the miracle and the mission of the God, we have to sincerely and faithfully to obey to the word of God. That's the only way we can see the miracle. This is the only the way we can see that God is working for us. Even though the stubborn of the Pharaoh, God never given up. If the plagues are not just God's discipline for king and the people of Egypt, in spite of his stubborn heart, God didn't have to continue knock on the heart of an Egyptian king. He could just kill them all at once by the judgment. But because it's not the judgment, it's the purpose of God. The purpose of God was to repent, make his people to repent and change it and come back to God from the wrongdoing. That's why rather than kill them at once by the judgment, they continually knock on their heart. The plagues, in the Egypt here are those that Egyptians serve as a god. So by this 10th plague, God is approving those idols. So far they believe as a god is not true God. So we need to look at ourselves carefully today. And there's something like a God of Egypt is still in us. And today is our life. Something the greed. And then make it satisfy our own greed. So we shouldn't give up the people not believing. based on this Pharaoh and the story of the Exodus, because we can see the Pharaoh and the Egyptian, finally they realize who the true God is. So that's why we shouldn't give up the sharing the word of God and telling them and introduce the people who the God is. So in other words, the 10 plague of God is in Egypt can be seen as a God's sincere persuasion, revealing that the idol that people believe and serve according to their desire are false God. It is not a threat of killing all at once, grieving cry of God, want people to turn away from false thinking and return to Him. Therefore, we must live a life of sharing the love of God to people not knowing God and even persecute those who believe. It does not mean to accept sin, but to love the sinner till coming back to right way. These things happen when we preach. Evangelism is spiritual warfare. Satan never likes a situation in which the king of Egypt is given up many of his slaves. Satan dislikes those who belongs to him are out of the darkness and become a people of God. So even if you introduce the true path of the life, you will be attacked, intimidated, and threatened. So if we know this situation, we must not forget the people around us who we wanted to evangelize should knock on their heart until they come to God's will in the end, regardless of any response. So we shouldn't emotionally take their response, because the people don't know the God. Even their response sometimes give us a pain, heart, hurt, but we shouldn't take it emotionally. The reason they behave like that is because they don't know who the God, true God is. It came from the not knowing. So that's why our church always educate the member not to drink, not to smoke. It's not because it's related to eternal life, but because we have to live as a model life in the eyes of the non-Christian. And rather than we follow the value of the world, we have to live by the value of the Word of God. So if we want to proclaim the Word of God, we have to be a good model, and we have to make our own life by the Word of God, according to the Word of God. That is the reason why we are trying to be strict on these drinking and smoking. So probably your friends, when you try to evangelize, they might don't like it. Even family members, even harder than the friends. But even Jesus said, those kind of conflict when you try to share the word of God is natural. Because the people belongs to the world, doesn't want to listen to the word of God. So believing in Christ and following Christ doesn't mean it's the opening door for everywhere we go, everything we do. So we value more about the heavenly value. That's why we're not doing a favor to this world. So that's why we shouldn't adhere to something worldly value. Rather, we have to more concentrate on the heavenly value. So what we have to do is to keep on proclaim and proclaim, proclaim. Of course, there will be the creative idea we need to have in sharing the word of God. Try to make a bridge with the people who you want to evangelize, and in t- times come, we will get a chance to share the word of God. So at first it seems Pharaoh captured Israel, but later he reached the point where he said, please move out. Even as God promised, they were able to receive from the Egyptian people the expense of the labor they had suffered in Egypt. This is exactly what God first said to Moses. Look at the Moses. Rejection is nothing. When we introduce God to someone, we are afraid of rejection and mockery. Before we receive the response of the other people, when we introduce Jesus Christ, so we often choose to avoid rejection or mockery. But we must not fear the reaction of man. God tells us not to be afraid of continuing to announce the will of God. So the obvious anticipated reaction to our passage are cold and ridicule and persecution. However, if we do not add or subtract the God's will, and the word of God will be gradually changing it in the process, as if to change the Pharaoh king and his people. So if we have a faithful attitude that we try to share the word of God regardless disrespect and ridicule 10 times, people will surely know who God is and what the will of God is. The way to the heaven is not easy, but it's very hard for us to live against the way the world flow. Which direction are you going now? Are you in a peace with the company of God? Is the comfort comes from the you just live the worldly life? Then you have to repent. Living as a God's people, sometimes we get ridiculed and mocked from the people in this world. Faithful journey is not easy. Sometimes it's threatened. But we need to be in the presence of the obedience. But God will work through us if we obey and continue to proclaim His word. This is how we live as salt and the light of this world. This is almost time of the holiday. Everyone go relax. The world get drunk and enjoy. The world seems very corrupted this holiday time. God is crying now with a tearing heart. When we share the word of God, it won't be comfortable, will be inconvenient, and will be rejected. The judgment belongs to God. But as a Christian, as a saint of God, and His holy people, we have to continue sharing the word of God without giving up. In every relationship, let's try to share the word of God and become a true witness. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. Oh.